morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caribou. Joined this morning by our live blog director, Jamie Jors. We're talking some Packers football. We're talking about the NFL Combine. We're talking about Greg Jennings and the franchise tag. We got plenty of topics we could talk about this morning. Probably won't get to them all. You know, after the NFL Combine, there's about a zillion things we could discuss. But we'll have to pick and choose here. But we'll pick the biggest topics and do our best to talk about some Packers football here on a Monday morning. Just got back last night from the NFL Combine in Indianapolis. You know, quite the weekend. You know, just filled with football chatter, football talk. You know, the NFL prospects trying to make an impression this week. Some of you might be following along with television coverage on the NFL Network right now. It's going on right now. If you didn't know, check it out. Flip the channel if you're near a TV. They're running 40s. The last I saw before I came in here, the defensive linemen were working out today. Defensive linemen and later the linebackers, I think. But defensive linemen up first, if I'm correct. And they're running 40s right now. They'll be doing workouts later, doing position drills, things like that. So cool stuff. I'm honored that if you would, you know, have the TV on and listen to Railbird Central all at the same time. But, you know, yesterday at the NFL Combine was the day the defensive backs met the media. And what I'd like to do is kick off today's show here with yesterday's interview with former LSU cornerback Tyrann Mathieu. You probably know him maybe as the Honey Badger. A guy who's had all sorts of problems as of late. But a talented player, as you probably well know, a finalist for the Heisman Trophy 2 years ago, but an absolutely incredible season, one of the best seasons in college football history from a defensive player. And there's been some good ones lately. You know, if we're talking about Manti Te'o, and you know, we can talk more about Manti Te'o a little bit later too, but you know, he had a good season this past year. Tyrann Mathieu before that, and Ndamukong Suh before that, Charles Woodson before that. You know, if we're talking college football history, but you know, Tyrann Mathieu got into trouble, got kicked off LSU's football team because of, you know, drug use and not being committed to the program, basically. Just got arrested not too long ago, a few months ago. Again, I believe marijuana possession. So he's got some demons he's battling, but has declared for the NFL draft, even though he has college eligibility remaining. But that's been a sticking point there about where he could play, whether he would sit out for a year and come back to LSU, or he would transfer and play at a smaller school. But anyway, here's an interview with Tyrann Mathieu. We'll play a couple minutes here from his press conference yesterday. And he starts off by talking about his nickname, the Honey Badger, and whether he'll keep that. So here's Tyrann Mathieu.
I have, but a lot of people haven't. But that's okay, because I'm tiring right now. You know, if the Honey Badger sticks, it sticks. But right now, you know, focus on being Tyrann Mathieu.
How do you avoid those temptations? Don't go to those places?
It's tough, you know, because it's everywhere. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, I think I have something to look back on. You know, I think I have some experience that I have gathered, you know, over this past year that's going to help me. You know, and, you know, I definitely look back on my experience and those certain situations. You know, I look back on those to help me get further along.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, and that's why I went, that's why I finished the rehab program. You know, that's why I do counseling. That's why I have a sponsor. You know, to take it one day at a time. But you know, I know it's marijuana in the NFL. I know it's marijuana everywhere you go. But at the end of the day, none of those people are Tyrann Mathieu.
Did you hope to eventually, after you pass, talk to kids, or did you already do that? Talk to about your mistakes so that they don't have the same mistakes.
Definitely, definitely. You know, I reach out to kids, but. You know, I don't want to be a hypocrite. You know, I don't want to go in front of kids and tell them don't smoke, you know, because I've just crossed that bridge, you know. So it's about a lot, it's about a whole lot of other things that you know, I think I have intact.
You mentioned other NFL guys. Is that, did he ever talk to you?
Yeah, he never talked to me personally, you know, but he's reached out to my adopted parents. He's reached out to, you know, my agent, and Patrick Peterson.
Who's your agent?
Pat Lawler. Yeah, you know, I think I thought my bottom was when I got kicked out of school, but you know, I think when I got arrested in October, you know, that was a different bottom. So, you know, I decided to go to a rehab, and you know, but at this time, you know, the rehab was for Tyrann. You know, I just wasn't going to it for publicity because my school told me to go. You know, I actually wanted to get my problem corrected.
Have you been with the PPD?
No, sir.
Have you ever reflected on how much this has cost you?
Yeah, millions. But at the end of the day, you know, I'm not focused on money right now. You know, I just want to start playing football again. Because my whole life I played it for free. So, you know, to play it for a couple $100,000, I mean, it's still football to me.
Do you think it's likely that multiple teams
take
you off the board?
I mean, I respect it, you know, and I totally understand it. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, I want those guys to really look at me and see me, you know, for who I am, you know, and that's a football player, and, you know, that's the right kind of person. You know I made some mistakes, but, you know, I think at the end of the day I'm able to overcome them mistakes and, you know, I'm able to correct them on a daily basis.
What NFL players do you compare yourself to or do you look up to a lot growing up?
I mean, I don't truly compare myself to, you know, any guys in the NFL right now. You know, I think I have a different kind of game, but, you know, it's somewhere between Ed Reed and Troy Polamalu.
Interesting comments there from Tyrann Mathieu, former LSU cornerback, actually comparing himself to Ed Reed and Troy Polamalu. Tyrann Mathieu's a cornerback. Those guys are safeties. I mean, you know, defensive backs in general, obviously, and good role models, I mean, good players. But a kind of an odd choice, I think, that he said he kind of looks up to them or compares himself to Ed Reed and Troy Polamalu. Tyrann Mathieu is about 5'9", and that's on the small side. Now, certainly there are 5'9" cornerbacks in the NFL. Don't get me wrong. If there's one position on the field where you can be short and make a living in the NFL, other than like kicker or punter. Well, actually, most punters are taller than that, but still, cornerback is the one place. Now, as far as, you know, this being a Green Bay Packers show, you know, I wouldn't expect the Packers to have much interest in Tyrann Mathieu, except if maybe he were an undrafted free agent, then maybe they'd give him a shot where there's, you know, not a whole lot invested in him, but, you know, he doesn't fit what the Packers really like from their defensive backs. It is rare when the Packers go with any defensive back shorter than 5'11". That seems to be like the point where they don't seem to go shorter than that very often, at least. Again, they will if it's like an undrafted guy and there's nothing to lose, really. But, you know, as far as investing draft choices into guys like that, they tend to shy away. They tend to go with guys that are bigger than that. So, you know, that's what you've got from Tyrann Mathieu. Still an interesting story. He's going to make it somewhere in the NFL. He's going to go to a team where that, you know, doesn't mind so much the size. And but, I mean, he's got other qualities as well. He can be a very good punt returner. He was during that Heisman campaign in 2011, and you know, had done a good job there. Has a nose for the football. You know, he coming up with interceptions, coming up with fumble recoveries. He just seems to be around the football. But, a good football player, but a guy who still has a lot to prove. He's trying to get his life turned around. That's what he says. How much you believe that, I don't really know. But, you know, I think he probably realizes now that he's on the cusp of an NFL career, and if he wants to start, making a living off football, he's got to turn it around somewhat. Not to say he's got to be a choir boy, but, he's got to stay out of the police blotter at least. So there you go, an interview with Tyrann Mathieu yesterday from the NFL Combine in Indianapolis. And I see the conversation on the live blog turning to the franchise tag. And, we're going to kind of bounce around from topic to topic here this morning on Real Bird Central. But, you know, there's so much to talk about it. There's almost no other way to do it. But, yeah, let's talk about this. And we've talked about it already here on this show. Last week, we devoted a majority of an episode to the franchise tag and Greg Jennings. And, you know, I basically said how I doubted they would do it. And I still am leaning towards that opinion, although it does appear to be more of a reality now. And the report first surfaced by, I believe it was Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network or NFL.com. Some of those guys work for both entities, I guess, for the NFL. And I think it was reported first on NFL.com. But saying the Packers might use the franchise tag on Greg Jennings. And again, a complicated topic here, that has many facets to it. And it is tough to just do a brief overview of the franchise tag because there's so many, variables that come into play here. It could just be a case where the Packers are trying to do the old pull the old tag and trade, thinking that, there's enough interest in Greg Jennings on the free agent market that, a team isn't going to want to wait until the trading deadline wait until, free agency when there might be several bidders, all involved in Greg Jennings. If they could work out a trade with the Packers ahead of time, that way the only team they'd have to work with is the Packers. They wouldn't have to bid against, all these other teams and things like that. So, that could be what the Packers are trying to hope for here. And there's a good article, if you haven't read it yet, at today's Milwaukee Journal Sentinel by, legendary beat reporter Bob McGinn, basically laying out the situation that even though the Packers might want that, they obviously would love to get compensation for Greg Jennings just rather than let him walk away via free agency. It's tough to get anything, even a mid-round draft choice, because, if they do wait until free agency, if a team is truly interested in signing Greg Jennings out there, and there could be a few of them, they wouldn't have to give up anything if they just waited till free agency. They wouldn't have to give up a draft choice. So there's that involved as well that has to weigh into this equation and why this is such a tricky and sticky subject. Now, could it be a case where the Packers actually want Greg Jennings to stick around, because if you go read this article from Bob McGinn, they also bring tight end JerMichael Finley into the equation here, and there's kind of this tug and back and forth there about what to do with him, a guy who's under contract for over $8 million this season, currently the second highest paid player on the team behind Aaron Rodgers, which is almost hard to believe. But because of that, Bob McGinn points out that basically the coaching staff wants JerMichael Finley, while those in the personnel department do not want him, and there's this tough situation about what to do with them. I mean, you can cut them and you can gain all that salary cap room. You know, $8+ million would certainly be nice, because, you know, here's the thing. The Packers might not want to lose both Greg Jennings and JerMichael Finley the same offseason. You know, that could be, you know, something where, you know, that is just too much to overcome for one receiving core to lose two good targets like that. Two good productive players, guys who have been productive in the NFL. That might be a lot, in addition to losing Donald Driver as well to retirement. That's, you know, Packers just might not want to lose that much all in one off season. So it could be a case where they want to keep one over the other, and that's why they're considering using the franchise tag on Greg Jennings. Now, the franchise tag is worth, you know, I think I saw a figure $10.3 million for 1 year. You know, where's this money going to come from, especially if the Packers want to sign Aaron Rodgers and Clay Matthews to contract extensions? You know, if they want to sign Greg Jennings, where is this money going to come from? Well, one place it could come from is by cutting JerMichael Finley. It could be somewhere the Packers have to pick and choose between one of those two guys. And even then, what do you... What do you do? It is such a sticky situation, and I'm not sure what the Packers do. I would lean toward trying to put that franchise tag on Greg Jennings. I would try to trade him if possible. I think the Packers would be an ideal situation if they could do that. I would cut JerMichael Finley. You know, if they do that, I would all be in favor of the Packers going after one of these top two tight ends in the NFL draft this year, either Tyler Eifert or Zach Ertz in the first round. I think those guys will be available at number 26, or one of them will. I like both of them. You know, I'm sure opinions differ out there. Maybe some people don't, but I do. Jamie says on the live blog, honestly, if I'm picking between Finley and Jennings, I think go with Finley. Never thought I'd say that. People on the live blog agree with Jamie. John agrees. Fip agrees. So there you go. There's differing viewpoints out there. You know, I see a lot of people in favor of keeping JerMichael Finley. You know, they see the potential in JerMichael Finley. They know he's under contract for just one more year, so they know, you know, even if JerMichael Finley doesn't work out, you only have to live with them for 1 year. So I see that side of it. But, you know, I think there's things the Packers can do with his $8 million contract. You know, I think they can. So you really, speaking of money issues here, too, talk over this weekend that the Packers are bringing in free agent defensive end Chris Canty for an interview. How about that? I think that caught by people by surprise a little bit. You know, we talked about Chris Canty on this show, and you know, basically the Packers haven't really gotten involved all that much in free agency. What's interesting is he's not an unrestricted free agent. Well, he is, you know, he's unrestricted in that he can sign with any team. But, you know, the reason the Packers might like him a little bit more than you know, other people is because he's not going to be part of that whole compensatory draft pick equation because he was cut, you know, by the New York Giants in a cost-saving move there. So, you know, if the Packers sign him, he doesn't count towards that, you know, whole equation, and they kind of like that. They kind of like that they, you know, sometimes when you sign a free agent, then you don't get those compensatory draft picks. So they like this because they can sign Canty, and then they can still get the comp picks on top of it if they lose some free agents like Greg Jennings, perhaps. So interesting there. I'm all about the Packers going after Chris Canty. I think he can be a productive player. The injury history is a concern with Chris Canty. But, you know, I think you just hope he's over it. I don't think you break the bank to get him, but you offer him a 2-3 year contract and hope he turns out. I think you can sign him to a modest contract. But again, where is this money going to come from? Where is this money going to come from? To almost do that, they got to make money. They got to make room somewhere. And again, the easiest places for the Packers to make room are by cutting JerMichael Finley and perhaps cutting AJ Hawk. You know, there's other places that they could do it. They could cut John Kuhn. They could cut Mason Crosby. Those are a couple places the Packers could do it. But, you know, whether they will or not, anybody's guess. I think they keep those guys for the time being. So there you go. There you go. I mean, it's a tough, tough situation. The Packers haven't found themselves in a bind like this in quite a while. Thank God they managed the cap well this past season. They were, $7 million under the cap this entire last year, which they got to carry over. I'm not sure how they managed that. I guess it was because, the best players on the team were really young, like Aaron Rodgers, Clay Matthews. Those guys are now currently playing under contracts that, make them, just adequately paid players. So it is a weird situation the Packers find themselves in, this bind, this money bind. And you know, the sooner they come to these contract extensions with Rodgers and Matthews, the clearer the picture will become. And of course, the challenge there is, too, to make these contracts a little bit cap-friendly. just a little bit, if Aaron Rodgers and Clay Matthews, if they want to play in a good team, they got to try to give them the team a little bit of flexibility as well to go and sign free agents like this, guys like Chris Canty maybe, or use it on guys like Greg Jennings. there's got to be that involved too. So it's interesting. It's interesting. We'll figure out. There's only 1 week the Packers have to make a decision on Greg Jennings. The window here, they could sign him later, but I'm saying that the window to place a franchise tag on a player ends, a week from today. 1 week from today. So, this is going to be a topic of conversation a lot over the next week here with Jennings. Now, they got a little bit of time with Finley here because the start of free agency doesn't begin until, March 12 or whatever. The start of the new league year. So Packers got a couple weeks on JerMichael Finley, but only really 1 week here on Greg Jennings to decide whether to put the franchise tag on or not. Yeah. We will find out what the Packers do. It's really anybody's guess. Really. You are not wrong in any opinion you have on either of those players right now. Because anything could happen. Nothing would surprise me at this point. Other topics coming out of the NFL Combine. We mentioned it briefly. Manti Te'o. There was kind of a connection to the Packers in that he mentioned the Packers by name. All Manti Te'o had to do. And by the way, it was surreal being at a Manti Te'o press conference. That was absolutely, I think they somebody estimated, I read an article, they put the number at about 300 members of the media around his podium. And it was a mob scene. And that was interesting in itself. But, all Manti Te'o had to do was say the word Packers. And all of a sudden, that kind of sets off a frenzy in Packer Nation. The Packers were one of the first two teams he interviewed with at the NFL Combine, a formal interview with the Green Bay Packers. Now, Manti Te'o said he also had 18 more interviews scheduled. So the Packers were only, going to be one of 20 teams, but they just happened to be one of the first two. One of the first two. So, I mean, who knows what's going to happen? I do not think Manti Te'o is a first-round linebacker. I think he's a day-two type of prospect. And you know, I really do think this whole catfishing incident has impacted his value because he plays middle linebacker, which is viewed as a leader of the defense, you know, a position that's kind of a leader on the defensive side of the football. And I'm not sure Manti Te'o can be viewed as a leader among his teammates after all this has happened. You know, I think that does kind of impact what he brings to the table. So I think he's a day-two guy. So I just don't think a team can invest a first rounder in him. Unless maybe you're the Baltimore Ravens and you want to replace Ray Lewis. Maybe they go that route. The reigning world champions are in a little bit more of a lenient situation there. But other than that, you know, that's about all there with Manti Te'o. The 40 time run by Monty Ball yesterday was a topic of conversation, which was rather slow. Monty Ball ran a 40 time of 4.66, which is, you know, not good for a running back at the NFL Combine. So that's kind of interesting. Didn't see that coming. Not that anybody expected Monty Ball to be a speed burner by any means, but he definitely ran a slower time than a lot more people thought. And of course, he's a guy who's been talked about as potentially going to the Packers late in the first round. I think that's a real stretch to think that could happen. But he's a guy who is, again, another day two prospect and probably a round two prospect in the NFL draft. But, you know, he in addition to having a poor 40 time, he didn't do very well in the bench press either. He had one of the lowest bench presses among running backs. So, you know, there's a lot for him to prove at Wisconsin's Pro Day, which is really interesting. And that's, you know, that's coming up that's just in like another week, I believe. You know, next week is the Wisconsin Pro Day. And so he's going to have to better both his 40 time and his bench press. And he's only got like 2 weeks to do it. Not even like a week and a half. So there'll be a lot of attention on that. Finally here, you know, before we left here, I got another interview I wanted to air here with, an NFL prospect that talked yesterday to the media at the NFL Combine at a position the Packers need to add some help. This is Florida safety Matt Elam I'm going to play, one of the top-rated prospects at the safety position coming out of Florida. Could be a person the Packers look at the end of the first round. I don't think he's a first-round guy. He's another short guy. Again, Matt Elam is like 5'10", and the Packers just don't take chances like that with short guys in the first round. They would later, but not in the first round. They want to make sure he's got the guy they take in the first round has upside. And, you know, there's kind of some limitations here with Matt Elam, and I believe he addresses them in this interview, and I'll play this here. And I believe he starts off by talking about players he likes in the NFL and other NFL safety. So listen in here, Matt Elam.
Ed Reed. I watch film on Ed Reed all the time, every week. You know what I'm saying? So I look forward to him all the time.
How would your brother feel about that?
Not him. I mean, I don't think he'll mind. He understands.
In what ways with Ed Reed?
Like I said, very versatile. He can cover. He'll hit you. He'll pick the ball off a ball hawk. I mean, he could do it all. So I feel like I can do it too.
I realize he's quite a bit older than you, but what was it like growing up with him? Were you guys competitive, or is the age difference too much?
Yeah, he was always competitive. I mean, he pushed me. He challenged me all the time. So, I mean, that made me who I am today.
Do you feel like athleticism kind of overrides your lack of size as far as height goes?
Yes, I feel like that's an advantage. I'm very athletic. Growing up, I was very athletic. I feel like that separates me a lot, my athletic ability. And I'm not the biggest safety, I guess. But I feel like I play hard, and that makes me stand out. I mean, it made me realize that I'd rather deliver the blow than get hit. So, I mean, it helped me out a lot, the athletic ability. I mean, it helped me with footwork and all everything else.
Did you pay any attention at all to mock drafts or assess what team might be interested in you?
I try not to pay attention to that. I mean, yes, I'm very confident in myself. I'm very versatile, and I feel I can do a lot of things for teams, special teams, covering, tackling. So, yes, I feel like I'm the best one. Yes, I have a goal in my head. I'm going for a low 4.4, even faster. I mean, I prepare well. I feel like I'll be all right.
How much that helped your confidence?
I mean, we had great defense. Everybody was flying around. I mean, I trusted all everybody on defense. I mean, we came together as a team, and that helped our confidence build. Because I mean, we knew how good we could be, and when you know how good you could be, I mean, your confidence is gonna be to the roof. So it helped us out a lot.
There you go. Florida safety Matt Elam talking at the NFL Combine, a position the Packers could stand to add some talent at, you know, with the retirement the release of Charles Woodson. It was Donald Driver that retired, Jeff Saturday too. Charles Woodson was released, but still, you know, it that opens the door for perhaps somebody else at the safety position. And there are some, you know, guys currently on the roster who have a chance to be that person, whether that's MD Jennings, whether that's Jerron McMillan. Those are guys that are possibilities for the Packers that are currently on the roster. But then again, this is being called a very deep safety class, one of the best positions in this year's draft class. So very interesting to see what happens there. And the Packers could get, you know, I think they draft a safety at some point in the mid rounds, heck, as high as the first round could happen. I see the chatter here in the live blog, would love to see a Cyprian pick. Love that kid. John says the more I hear about Cyprian, the more I like. Yeah. Jonathan Cyprian from Florida International. He is a guy on the rise. He could be the Packers' first round draft choice. There's starting to be a lot more first round chatter about this guy. I've watched, you know, quite a bit of tape on him, and he might be the cream of the crop of the safety class. I'll tell you that. Really could be he right now, and I'm not finished with my grading here yet and my evaluations, but he is right at the top. Between him, Kenny Vaccaro, Eric Reed, guys like that. These are guys who I think can be good safeties in the NFL. And you know, there's several of them, including Matt Elam. There's a couple of them. Bakari Rambo, Sean Williams, J.J. Wilcox. The list goes on. A lot of good potential safeties in this year's draft class. So anyway, folks, it's past 9 o'clock here. Enjoy the NFL Combine coverage, you know. It continues for several hours here on the NFL Network. I think it's simulcasted on NFL.com, so check that out. It wraps up tomorrow. Tomorrow, the last day, you can watch defensive backs. You can watch the safeties and cornerbacks tomorrow. And then we'll be back Wednesday here on Railbird Central to wrap it all up. So we'll be back then. So make sure to join us then here at Cheesehead TV. We'll see you later, folks. I leave you today with a song called Can't Wait Another Day by the String Cheese Incident on Psy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go Pack, go.
Every night I pace the hall, just waiting for your call. anticipating your next move. It's got me bouncing off the wall.